All righty now. Welcome to the second hour of the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. Jim had to leave. He got a little project going this morning. So me and Tip are going to handle the second hour.
Yep, yep.
And I'm going to start it off with Tip going, okay, this is Super Safe Saturday.
This is Super Safe Saturday. No texting and driving.
Go ahead. You only got about 3 minutes left.
No texting and driving. Make sure that you you stay in your lane, and make sure that you make sure that you use your signals, and keep it a nice, safe Saturday.
Well, that's pretty good. That's not bad for the first time. It's not bad for the first time. Be sure and run over the people riding bicycles out there. Be sure. go ahead for the rest of it now. I give you a hint.
Yeah, keep an eye on bicycles out there. Make sure you're using your signals and use your seatbelts. And
watch out for the coyotes because they don't know how to dodge you anymore.
Yeah, watch
out. Javelinas can run right out and snatch you out of the road.
Yep, and make sure your hood is latched at all times.
Yeah. And remember the turn signals and the headlights and during the dawn and dusk. You know, go ahead and take a hammer, knock a headlight out. You don't use them anyway, and that'll lighten the load, and you get better fuel economy. And take a hacksaw and cut the turn signal located on the left-hand side of the column. Cut that off and throw it out the window because that'll lighten the load.
Yes, yes.
And I'm only being facetious a little bit about that. Please use your headlights. You know, headlights on a car, if they weren't for a safety factor, why did they put day running lights on them? Automatic?
No, I don't know. Some people have the daylights on all the time. They don't run their headlights at all. I come up behind them and I'm like, hey, you got no headlights on. But no, they have the daylights on, so they think it's a headlight.
They don't know the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
The daylights in the front do not illuminate backup lights, tail lights.
No, the tail lights at all.
They're not there.
Yeah.
No. And so, you know, you're running at night and you think, okay, well, my lights are on, or you come out of a shopping center or something like that. That's where I see most of it. They're coming out of a shopping center.
Yep.
And I'd be driving down the road. And I keep explaining to you, have you ever heard the old expression, headlights, Yeah, where the headlights and a deer will stop in the middle of the road and look. A deer, a horse, and welcome to Arizona, we have open range out here. And when you find a horse out on South Houghton Road and stuff like that, and they look at you, they can't see. They're temporarily blinded. Their eyes don't adjust as fast as ours do. So it takes them a little bit before they could see you so they could even move. They don't know what to do. They freeze. And well, that's the way animals do.
Also have your light sensors checked. Yeah, sometimes these cars, the light sensors don't work anymore, and they feel the lights are on, but they're not. But the light sensor has been busted on the dash or wherever it's located on the car. And make sure that you have that checked because otherwise your lights won't come on. And you'll think they're on because of the daylights are the daylights are running. But they're not on at all. I know I've gotten in a few things. Oh, they're on, but no, they're not on, and I have to turn it on. So have the sensors checked at all times. A lot of times, just cover it with your hand and see if the lights come on or off. And if it doesn't work, then I would take it into Simmons or somewhere to have that light sensor on the dash checked.
Well, if when you're dealing with safety, and that's exactly what we're talking about here is safety, you're dealing with headlights. And what are some of the other things when you get ready to buy a car, whether it be electric or gas burner, what do you look for in it? Go ahead.
You look for make sure all the blinkers and the backup lights work, front lights work. You want to check the light sensors. And seat belts, make sure the seat belts work properly. You talking new car or you talking used?
I'm talking about a car. period.
Period. Yeah.
You call it.
Make sure everything's
new car.
Make sure everything's working. You know, it's got a proper gas cap. Make sure the drive and the reverse gears work properly. Make sure your parking brake. You got to make sure that parking brake works and it stops or it pulls forward. And then you want to test the brakes on a test drive and make sure that the brakes work properly. It doesn't hurt to kick the tires a little bit, you know, check the lugs, you know. You want to make sure the warranty is what the warranty might be. And check safety. Just make sure that everything's working properly. Airbags usually have airbag sensors. They'll either come on when somebody's sitting in the seat next to you or come off. Make sure that that's working properly. And your rearview mirror, where you can see, make sure they're adjustable. Make sure they work properly. And the door locks.
Yep. Right. That's very good. That's very good. Now, when you're looking, let's say you're just walking up and you're kicking a tire. He mentioned that. Now, we used to say that just go kick a tire means take a look at the car, take a look at the tires. But people, if you don't know what you're looking for, you won't know what you're looking at. So when you go up and kick a tire, you can kick a tire, and that's fine, but you need to be able to reach in there, turn the wheel. Turn it, if you're on the driver's side, turn the wheel to the right, and that'll bring the back of the tire out to you on the left side of the car so you can see the tread and inside the tread. And what you're looking for, wear patterns. If you got the tread on the outside of the tire, which is the one closest to the curb, then, and it's worn down, and yet you look across the tire, the rest of it is in good shape, and then the right side is not worn down like the left side is, then you've got a toe-in problem.
Oh, wow. Okay?
Toe-in means you're scrubbing the outside of the tire off. Because if you go to the other side, you're probably going to find the same thing. It'll be the toe is going to be coming. It's got a toe-in problem on the both sides. It normally goes together unless you've got a worn ball joint, and then it'll let one of them cheat a little bit. But it'll give you a weird wear pattern and a scuffed wear pattern. Like you can run your hand across it, and it'll feel like it's got little edges trying to catch your hand as you go across. That's the best way I can explain that. And when you're looking at that, then go to the back tires. While you're doing the front, just quit as soon as you quit the front, go to the back tires, run your hand under there, and run your hand across the tire, and see if you've got the same feeling on that tire as you do the front. It could be that the fronts just need to be rotated to the rear, but remember what you were looking at. If it's worn out on the outside, on both sides, then it's probably a toe problem, and it needs to be aligned. And that's one thing that when I buy a used vehicle, that's the next thing I have done to it. I take it in. The tires are inspected, and they also, and I want it aligned, because I know from professional experience, if you do a proper alignment, you need to look for anything on there that can cause this thing to go out of alignment. You're going to inspect the ball joints. You're going to inspect that whole front end. And with four-wheel cars, four-wheel independent suspension, you've got to align four wheels instead of two wheels. So the price on that thing, you get ready for anywhere from $200 up, no problem. But if they can fix that alignment problem, you're going to save a lot of money on just buying tires. You'll get your money back from the alignment just by not having to buy tires, because tires are slightly expensive.
Oh, yeah.
As Tip was talking about it earlier this morning on tires for electric cars.
Yes.
Now, what was that information on the tires that you found out?
They run
out
fast. The electric tires are becoming a booming industry now because basically they're required. Electric vehicles go through tires extremely fast. The wear and tear, the drive. Apparently, electric vehicles have more torque, so they provide more horsepower to the wheels. So you're going to be moving faster on that. The sidewalls need to be a little stronger. They're changing the sidewalls on a lot of the vehicles, on a lot of the tires. And I think they're coming out with a bunch of them. Also, Jerry, I just saw on a quick note, Volvo is no longer doing diesels anymore. They will not do diesel vehicles of any type. So they're stopping on that. But EV tires, they burn through the tires really quickly. A lot of people are upset with having to buy tires. They're equating it to an oil change because basically a car goes through an oil change every 6 months or every, 3,000 miles there, Jer?
Well, they got them up to 15,000 on some of them.
Some of them.
Average is about, average on them now using synthetics is about 7,500, 5,000 to 7,500.
Yeah, so you burn through
but
tires.
By the time you reach that many miles, yeah.
Right. So
I had a Lexus, and I had to buy a set of tires every 20,000 miles. And that was because of the setup on the suspension for the Autobahn. You could run it down the Autobahn, and it was perfect for the Autobahn at, 110 miles, 20 mile an hour. But, boy, you drive it around town, you still had 20,000 miles on a set of tires on a Lexus vehicle. And that was with changing, rotating the tires and balancing it every 5,000 miles. Been there, done that. And as soon as I got in another car, it was not a Lexus because I don't like buying tires at 20,000 miles.
Oh,
and
yes.
Tires can run 60,000.
Yeah, I think the electric vehicles are like 15 to 20,000, and they also weigh more. Apparently, the average electric sedan is almost twice the regular weight of a standard gas or petrol engine, a nice car. So
they say they can get up around 6,000 pounds.
Yeah,
that's a bunch of weight on the car. But you have to have, with 6,000 pounds, you have to have better tires.
Absolutely.
You have to have good sidewalls.
Absolutely.
And reading an article on tires, in fact, I was going to bring up tires this morning on the second hour, actually. But tires, there is, some of the things that actually –
The electric ones are about $271 a pop, and they can actually be like $1,100 for a set. I think I paid $1,340 for my Tesla after 2 years. So, but they're like you said, the sidewalls have a greater strength. They're redesigning that, and then GMC Hummer. That thing's probably about 9,000. I think it was 9,000 pounds or something like that. It's extremely heavy vehicle. They're worried about roads and they're worried about guardrails. Apparently, electric vehicles are much, much heavier than standard pickups, and they're worried about that. But then again, there's cement trucks out there too. So I mean. You know, the weight of a cement truck's got to be, equivalent, if not equal to a pickup sometimes. Or maybe a little more, actually.
Uh-huh.
But, they're redesigning a lot of those. Michelin makes a really good tire for the Teslas. That's about the only incurring cost besides windshield wipers and washer fluid. So that's about the only other thing you can incur with a great expense on electric besides the car.
Well, I personally don't think that I'd be driving a self-driving Tesla, the autonomous Tesla, because there's too many other things. The cars, the electronics or the guiding system on that should work okay, but I don't think it's figured in. How do you spot a person and say, okay, you've got a dog running out in front of you. How does the Tesla actually avoid that? You've got a person running out in front of you. How do you avoid that? And, like you driving across country and you go down the road and you're running 70 miles an hour and a deer pops out of nowhere. So there are a few little questions I have on that. But on the tires, let's do a little bit more on the tires here. Typical service on a tire. This is what you can expect, and this is what everybody's looking for, and this is what you need to know. Have your car alignment all four wheels checked at least annually, and also at the first sign of improper handling or uneven wear. That uneven wear is what I was talking about a while ago. Turn that wheel, take a look at it. Okay? It don't take but just about, I can inspect all four tires in probably 3 minutes. You'll probably take about 10. But if you find one that's wore out on one side and not the other side, you've got something else going on, and it needs to go in before it gets really expensive. All right. Your technician will make adjustments to the camber, caster, toe, and thrust angles as needed. Request a wheel alignment when you purchase a set of new tires. People, I'll tell you firsthand, I did not. I had a minivan I sent in, had two front tires put on that son of a gun. I said, I don't have time to leave it for a front end. It's busy. 30 days, I had to go back to the same guy, and I bought another set of front tires. That thing was so worn out, it had a toe-end problem, just enough to where it scraped it out. As much running as we was doing, and within 30 days, it wore the front tires down to unsafe on the outside of them, and we had to replace them again. So it happens. Have the tires rotated every 6,000 miles. Consult your owner's manual, tire dealer, or manufacturers for the correct rotation pattern for your tires. There's different patterns you run back and forth. I remember when radios first come out, that's how old I am. When radios first come out, you did a rotation on them. Well, you did a rotation on the radio like you did on a bicycle, and it didn't work. It shook. People said, that's impossible. Nope, it's not impossible. I know it firsthand. It shook. And you'd go back, and I went from rear to front. I had no problem. Just back to front. Used to do the cross and all of that. Nope, it didn't work on those. However, they've made radials a lot better now, and some of them you can get, and you can rotate them across. But when a tire gets out of balance, there's 21 places on a vehicle that can cause a vibration, okay? Tires is only one of them. When you get a tire that you drive down the road, and it's got about 35,000 miles on it, okay, you don't remember hitting anything or changing the alignment or nothing like that. A tire can lose a balance of the tire. I lose the balance of a tire. In other words, it's not balanced right now, and nothing's come apart. It just loses the balance. Just from the wear of the tire, it can wear down, and now you have to have it rebalanced, and they'll go in, put it on a machine, and bring that thing up to road speeds, and then they'll put weights on it. Then everything is nice and good again. They won't even rotate. They don't have to rotate the tire. They normally do when you do that because, I mean, it's up in the air and the tires are off. But when you're doing that, the tires, let's discuss weights on tire. If you get a tire that takes 3.5-4 ounces of weights on it, that tire is a piece of crap.
Wow.
You can call it anything you want to. I know this because having a front-end vibration specialty down there with drive shafts and stuff, we see a lot of stuff come in. We'll see it come in. We check the drive shaft. Drive shafts are perfect. Drive shaft, not a problem whatsoever. Well, we got these little, I call them earthquake sensors. It goes on the four corners of the car. It tells you, okay, let's take it for a test drive and find out where the shake is coming from. We'll find it. Okay, here we go. We'll start with the tires. We'll pull the tires off, and we will actually put them in a balancer to see what we've got. You will have a tire that's out of balance, and you look at it, and it's got 4.5 to 5 ounces of weight on the tire. You look at the bead around the mounting bead around the tire. It has a little bead around there. It tells you when the tire's on there straight. And sometimes the tire just needs to be broken back down from the rim and put back on correctly. And then you have to rebalance it again. And, now it no longer takes 5 ounces. It only takes 1.5 ounces, something more realistic, or 1 ounce. And some of it even takes less than 1 ounce.
Do you find
the tire was mounted
Do you find
I'm
those?
Sorry, bud.
Do you find those the testing when you do the testing that the depending on the road with potholes and stuff that it can be difficult to test the front end? I know I've got a little shimmy going on my front of my car, but I don't know whether it's the road or the car itself.
No, it's your car.
Okay. So I'll get it checked.
It's your car. There's nothing. Your car is designed to run down different roads, including dirt roads, without shimmying. When you get a shake on that front end like that, it could be something like it's. Hopefully, it's not as bad as the death wobbles on the Jeeps.
Oh no,
where you just wants to.
No, it's not like
take
that.
It out of your hand.
But there's some pretty bad
if
roads
it's shaking,
out there.
And you, if you can, if it's shaking when you're driving and you can feel it through the steering wheel, it's your car itself. It's your front end. It needs to be inspected. How many miles you got on the car?
I got about 30,000, but I know I come through Alvernon Way, and man, it is just tore up over there. All of Golf Links is pretty bad, so.
Yeah, I know. I've hit them so hard it made your tires squall on them one time.
I've done that
a
couple times too.
But yours, the cars are no longer built like the old 55 and 56 Chevrolets. I remember those. I remember hitting holes big enough to knock the front end out of it, not just out of alignment. And they just go on through. And I've also driven stock cars that had truck suspension put under them. Because we're running a dirt track, and we had these little holes that would show up, and that's how we did it. But these late model cars, everything is so fuel economy
plastic
conscious now,
right,
that the parts are not made as durable as the old parts were.
Nope.
And you can ask any body shop that, and they'll say, yeah, that's the reason it costs a daggone much to have a car fixed when it's in a crash. Everything is collapsed. You know,
yep.
Oh, yeah, it collapsed, yeah.
They've got crunch zones and stuff. It's pretty difficult at sometimes to repair them properly.
Yep.
But
there's no on the tires.
Uh huh. I'm listening.
You get what you pay for on tires.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. I had a case with had a set of tires on a Honda. Bought them brand new. 7-8. About 8 days later, wife drove it to work, called me up, said, I have a thubba. I've told this story numerous times. This is real. That's exactly what it sounded like. Thubba.
Sounds like a song.
And it turned out, that's right,
yeah.
It turned out that the tire, a brand new tire, had separated.
Oh, my gosh.
And three of the other three were low on air.
But
they took it to a tire shop, had the tires, that one tire replaced, put the others in a barrel of water. They were leaking through the sidewalls.
Oh, no.
On the tire itself.
That might be from loss of air, right? I mean, that could be.
Yes, that's what normally calls it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, had to replace, buy four more new tires. Of course, it was on them, not me. And but they do happen. When you buy an inexpensive tire, you buy a real cheap tire, and you say, oh, boy, I've got this thing figured out. I'll buy three, and they'll give me one free. There ain't no such thing as free, people. Get over it. You buy, and you hopefully you get what you pay for. Unfortunately, that's not always true. When you go and you have a – let's take a Tesla. You've got a Tesla, and you go out and you say, well, oh, this size tire right here is the same size as a Tesla tire, but it's almost $80 cheaper than a Tesla tire. I'll get that. If you get a good tire shop, no, you won't. They will not sell you that tire. If you take a trailer tire in, it goes on a horse trailer, and it is a regular trailer tire. You try to buy a truck tire or something, it costs almost double what a trailer tire does. And I'll tell you from experience on a Sunday in Phoenix, Walmart will not sell you that tire.
Wow.
Had to leave that darn thing there, pull the tires off the trailer, bring it to Tucson, get some trailer tires put on the rims, and take it back up there and get that thing on a Monday. Okay? You cannot change the speed rating on a tire. You get the – let's pick on Ford Mustang. Ford Mustang, 500 horsers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot change. That is a speed-rated tire. You have the Hellcat speed rated tires. You have some of these little cars that's pushing about 350 horsepower and they weigh about 2,200 pounds. Trust me, they've got speed rated tires on there. If you put a junk tire on there and you say, okay, well, I'm good. It looks good. Put it on there. You have an accident with the wrong speed rated tires on there and you are going to be held partially responsible for that accident.
Especially with a
because
trailer.
Because you were wearing. That's exactly right.
Yeah, they'll fishtail.
So there is it's a mess.
It's a mess.
But all of your stuff and a little hint on the trailers, they do make upgraded tires. They make tires. The ones you get normally on a trailer, especially if it's got 5 bolts or 6 bolts on the lugs, is good for about 60 mile an hour, 65 top. That's all they recommend driving that thing at. You can buy for a nominal fee. You can buy a tire that has no speed rating on it. It goes on a trailer. I know it.
I did not know that.
They cost me a little over $80 more per tire to get the good ones. And I said, I'm too old to be changing tires in the middle of the road. I don't feel like it anymore. I don't have to. I can get a good tire. But people, when you buy a good tire, there's a few things that go along with that. If you're driving down the road and you hit a hay hook in the middle of the road going to Casa Grande, towing a load,
oh my gosh,
you're going to have a flat tire. I don't care how expensive your tires are. You're going to have a flat tire. And it'll be the inside of your dually on the traffic side.
Oh, no.
If you go across the Sabino Canyon Bridge and some contractor had bounced across there and bounced a box of nails out on top of the bridge going across there.
No.
And you hit it. After you go through there, about 9 vehicles pulled off on the side of the road out toward where the veterinarian center is. And it's all from that box of nails that comes out. I don't care what kind of tires you got. They're all subject to road hazards.
Now, what kind of warranty? What kind of warranty are we looking at? What kind of warranty?
If you road hazard. Get road hazard.
Year?
Road hazard warranty, put it on the tire, bite the butt. It's just a couple of $3 or something like that. But you have to make sure. That's another thing, too. When you get these real cheapy tires, see what kind of warranty they have on them. Mine just leaked air. Mine wouldn't hold air. And so that was a no-brainer. But, no, I've picked up scissors in the side of a tire on a one-ton.
Oh, geez.
That's not covered. And I still haven't figured out who in the world. How do scissors get out on the main road? I don't get it. And so it has just been a nightmare.
Right. So,
but, yeah, you can get all sorts of stuff. And the big ones, when you're driving on the road and you're getting ready to go, I don't care if you're going to Phoenix. I don't care if you're going to Wilcox. I don't care if you're going to Marana. Get in a habit every 30 days, at least every 30 days, walking around and looking, educate yourself. Look at these tires. If one of them looks like it's low, put a gauge on that daggone thing and find out if it's low or not. If you don't know how to read a gauge, go to a tire shop, go to Merle's Automotive, go to Simmons, go to Parker Automotive, go to Automotive Specialist. We will give you the tour on how to read a tire gauge. We used to do it with car care clinics here in Tucson with ASA. We'd show you how to read. We'd show you how to check your oil. We still do that stuff. You just catch us on a good day. And actually, we should put on another one. Me and my sponsors ought to put on a car care clinic and just bring everybody.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
And we've got to find a pretty good sized place because we found out that the last time we had one, we had like 220, 230 cars. And when you have that much, you better have a big parking lot. We use Pima College. I could probably talk to Pima College.
Yes, Pima College.
Downtown.
They have their car shows. Maybe at one of their car shows they have.
Yeah, well, that'd be good. But with the amount of cars they had, the parking lot's not that full. I was at the last car show, and that parking lot was full, and everything around it was full because of the amount of traffic that was coming through to see that car show.
Yes.
If you haven't been to the Pima County, Pima College Automotive Shop, you need to go down and look. If you have a kid that's in high school, that's thinking about being a technician, automotive tech, they have one of the top 10 schools in the nation.
Everybody.
That place is equal to anything I've ever seen that works on a vehicle or trains on a vehicle. They've got everything.
Yeah, the dealerships from all over Arizona, they send their techs down there for all kinds of new stuff. Ford, Jim Click's got a new, got their own, part of one of their own bays in there, and there's a Jim Click rep there too, actually too. But they send mechanics from all over Tucson down there to train there at Pima College.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've actually sent my guys down there for differential training. And they go down and they sit in there, and Trevor and Wade did. And I think they had everything done a week before class even ended. And so they were allowed to go ahead and leave. And but I figured that I just wanted to do a checkup for my neck up. And it worked. But,
hey,
yeah, Pima College.
What's the name?
Thing is you can afford to go down there. And that's what gets me about the people out there that go get they get out of school, and I'm going to try not to get too radical on this, but they'll have a $45,000, $50,000 or better student loan debt. And they'll have a useless degree. Just use. They get out, I got this, this is where I can go look at butterflies or something like that. Well, that's fine. I'm sure butterflies need to be looked at. But you got to eat while you're doing it. And how are you going to find there can't be that many jobs available in that?
Hey, Jerry.
So, and yet you still got this. Yeah.
I got somebody on the line. I don't have a name yet, but I have somebody on the line. Would you like to speak with him?
Sure.
Okay, hang on. Go ahead. Who is this?
I'm happy to tell you. My name is Big Al.
Hey, Big Al. How you doing?
I'm okay.
What are you up to, Big Al?
You know, Gerald, I couldn't help but notice you started talking about a car care clinic you get.
Yeah.
Remember the last time you and I talked
about
that?
You're
going to
rip me off again. you tried to put me together on one of these things about 11 years ago.
You remember the last time we talked about that?
And we really considered it. And every time we got ready to do it, something come up. But now that I'm semi-retired, I got just a little bit more time. But I like that idea.
You remember the last time we talked about it?
Yep.
You remember what you told me?
That's when your kids were going to get a driver's license or something.
you told me I want to do a new car care clinic at this point in my life, like I want another stent.
Like I want another one.
But that was about 10 stents.
Stent in your heart.
Remember? Well,
I have done 12, about 12 car care clinics. And, they started out with about, 20 cars. And then they got up to 200 and some. And so then, things change. Things change. And we started getting more business, everything. But, yeah, I just it needs to be. We actually did one at Brian Fuller's place over at Automotive Specialists where people just come through the front drive. We did a live remote out there. And people just drove through the front drive, and we would show them the things on the cars and stuff like that. The problem we get into, and it's really not a problem, it's just part of the reason you have them. We'll take a look at the cars, and we can see things because we see it every day. We can see things that the untrained eye won't notice. And when we bring it up and then say, well, can you fix it? No, not today. We can't. Those things have to go back on the schedule, and then we can fix them. But we will help you train you to identify the problems that you can see. We'll show you where to look. Is what we're trying to do, to educate you. But I've had technicians come in there. Oh, well, one guy I never will forget. He said, I've been working on cars 43 years. I've never heard of brake fluid being dirty. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at Jackie Harry, who owns JB's Auto. And she looked at me with a startled look in her eyes, and I said, okay, I'll tell you what I want you to do, buddy. You see that master cylinder right there? I want you to pull the cap off that master cylinder. And I reached over and picked up a paper towel. We always carry paper towels because we are getting our hands dirty and we need to clean them. So we picked up a paper towel, and I handed it to him. I said, I want you to put that around your forefinger, and I want you to stick it in that master cylinder real slow, because you pushed in there too much, you're going to put that stuff all over the place. And I want you to reach down to the side, and I want you to rake your finger across the bottom of that master cylinder, and I want you to pull it out, and I want you to tell me what you've got on there. He put his finger in there, he raked it across the bottom of the master cylinder, and lo and behold, he comes out, and he said, I got about, looked like about an eighth of an inch of sludge or more on just one finger. And I said, yeah, it's just one finger. And you only rake down one side of your master cylinder. Brake fluid is designed to put that sludge inside the master cylinder and hold it until you change it and keep it out of the system. That's exactly doing what it's supposed to do. But you got to change it. And people said, well, Jerry, how often do you want to change this thing? I talked to the guy that designed the brake test stuff down in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the SEMA show up in Las Vegas. And I spent 2 hours with that guy because both of us were tired and couldn't walk. And he told me, he said, I would change it. You know, the manufacturers are just now beginning to say, okay, you need to do brake fluid change at least 2 years. He said, no. He said, that still allows for your brake system to go out premature. I'd do it once a year. This is a guy that designs the stuff that actually tests it. He knows what he's coming up with. And he used test vehicles. You know, it's for real. It is the real science, not some BS. So I started looking at it, and then we started getting the little strips. Now they got strips that you can put in there and test them. Well, I had an electronic brake fluid tester that's probably not much bigger than a matchbook. Had two little leads on it, and we actually found where brake fluid was contaminated for the Buick industry. And they did a bunch of in-house recalls of the big Buicks that they'd sold because the brake fluid was contaminated and they were having brake failure. The brake fluid was actually boiling premature. And it turned out that somebody was tinkering with the brake fluid trying to make more money. And she cut it back to this. So anyway, it had 10% water added to it. And but the factory told them to buy my little matchbook thing that I haven't been able to find one since I purchased it, and it's still not available. But they've got strips that you stick in there. Now, I don't know how accurate strips are, but they work pretty doggone good, because if they change color, there's a reason they change color. And I asked the guy out of Charlotte, North Carolina, how accurate are these strips? And he said they're looking for contamination. They're looking for copper, excessive copper and stuff like that inside. Oh, okay. And sure enough, you can go to Merle's and you can get these little strips yourself. You can put them in a container. Don't leave them out. Put them in a container. Put them in a controlled, well, put them in a room that's, you know, semi-controlled as far as the elements and stuff. And then if you have a question yourself, you tell yourself, self, oh, I don't have to question that. I can go out and put it in there. Take brake fluid. If you buy brake fluid from Merle's or whoever you buy brake fluid from, and you see a price that says, okay, a gallon of brake fluid is X number, let's say $10, and a pint of brake fluid is $3. And you say, oh, there's how many pints in a gallon? Oh, if I buy a gallon, I'm going to save a lot of money. No, you're not. Tell you why. As soon as you open the lid on that gallon, that brake fluid starts to contaminate. It starts pulling moisture from the air, dust from the air. Everything goes in there. When you get ready to use that thing a second time, you might as well be pouring raw acid back into your system. buy 1 pint containers. When you fill up your master cylinder and you say, okay, you're because you've done a brake job, and this is the other one I like. The guy told me, if you pull a cap off a master cylinder and it's got fluid in it, you say, okay, I'm gonna top it off. He said, when you pour the new brake fluid in with the old brake fluid that's existing, the new brake fluid is more contaminated than the old brake fluid that you've got in there because it cleans up the old brake fluid. And it's worse than the brake fluid that was originally in there. He said, if you got a leak and you're down that far, you have a leak. Find that leak and fix it, because it may be just a little leak, but it may have the capability of blowing a seal out of a slave cylinder or something like that and dropping your brake system. If you've got a leak, and if you've been driving that vehicle for 100 years and you haven't bothered to change the brake fluid in it, one, when you do, get ready, because you're going to spend a lot of money on brakes, because that fluid has been in there so long it's decided, okay, well, I've got tired of trying to clean it up. He's not listening to me. Let's just start components. So there is no win-win on that. Brake fluid is a safety issue. If you don't know that by now, go ahead and take that hammer that you're going to knock your headlights out with and beat the crap out of your master cylinder and get rid of it too. I'm being facetious, but I'm telling you the gospel. I'm telling you the truth. The brakes, think about it. When you get ready to stop, you don't turn the headlights on. You don't turn the backup lights on because you don't know where the switches are. How are you going to stop that thing? And I've got an answer for that. Hit something cheap. You know, now all you got to do is you've got about, 2 seconds to pick up something cheap that's going out on the freeway. I don't know of anything you can hit under $10,000. Don't let it get to that stage. If your brakes start squealing when you hit the brakes, it's the brake sensor telling you, hey, Jerry, your brake pads are gone, and you're getting ready to spend $110 per rotor to replace the rotor because you're getting ready to cut them in half. People, you haven't lived until you see a one-ton dually Ford come in with this big, fancy rotor that's big enough to stop an airplane, is in 2 pieces because it got down and the brake pads cut the rotor center out of the rotor. And the rotor is sitting there just gathering space and making the darndest racket you ever heard in your life, because the outside of the rotor is still one piece. The inside of the rotor is still one piece also. They're just not attached. And the damage it did was incredible to the inside. I mean, it took out the backing plate, everything. And it just beat the crap out of everything in there. Everything is hooked to it, brake lines and all that stuff is garbage. And that's what happens when you ignore it. Every now and then, and I'll tell you this, while you're driving, you're listening to the Simmons Car Care Show in the morning. If you feel comfortable shutting that radio off for a minute while you're driving and just listen to your car, and just go ahead, you're driving, check your mirror view mirror. If you don't have anybody around you, just put your foot on the brake. If the brake has a little pulsation to it on a light touch, then you've got some problems with your rotors. Your rotors are out of balance. Or if you put a little more pressure on it and it feels like it's really a brake pulsation, like, oh, wow, I don't think I want to go down. You just keep putting more pressure. Well, you have another little unique problem. That stuff needs to go in and be professionally checked out. I've seen it where the brake fluid was bad in a Lincoln Continental. And when the lady called, she said, I was at Park Mall and I drove across the parking lot, and every time I hit my brakes, it'd be a pulsation on them, just a pulsation. Well, we just had something like that come through the shop on a guy that had a brand new brake job done it. And when he got through with it, he had a pulsation. People, when you do a brake job on a car, you flush the fluid. You don't slap it on his butt and top it off and say, okay, it's done now. No, you flush the fluid. Okay? you know, and I did one for a guy coming out of Catalina. He called me and told me, I said, so what did you do? He said, I just had a brake job done on it. I really?
He slapped it on the butt.
And I said, yeah. I said, read your work order for me. He read the work order down there, and there was no charge for brake fluid on this thing. And I'm going, brake fluid's not free. And so I asked him, I said, did they put brake fluid in it? I mean, did they charge it? Did they just give you free brake fluid? Well, I don't know. It just, you know. And I said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take it back to them and tell them you need a brake flush, that your brakes are sucking, and you just talked to Simmons on the south side, and he says the brakes need to be flushed. They changed the fluid in it. Problem solved. And then he calls me back, and he said, well, how did you know this? I said, I have had my butt kicked every way you can kick my butt in the automotive industry. I have seen stuff, problems that come in here from other garages. I'm just like a Brian Fuller or a Parker Automotive. There's cars come in when nobody else can fix them because they either don't have the equipment or they haven't put forth the dollars for the training that it takes to work on these things. And I don't mind passing the information on. You know, hey, this is 36 years. Well, since 1989, I've been doing radio since 1989. The sole purpose is to educate the public.
Absolutely.
To keep them from getting ripped off.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
If you go to Colorado and you drive into a shop back there, if you're out and you're looking for a garage, if you can find somebody that still has an Automotive Service Association sign up, or the Automotive Service Association went into educating and training, and they kind of got out of the first come thing with a independent garages, but like Tucson, Southern Arizona Professionals is what it's called now, Southern Arizona Professionals. You go in those people, they have a different ethic. Remember when they was having all the service stations set out here on the edge of the freeway that were getting busted?
Yep.
And there wasn't many of them. I was only like two or three. Well, who do you think set those things up? Who do you think give the news media enough technical information to actually look for it and find it? It was automotive service, automotive, independent garage owners. IGO is what it was called then. And, yeah, we tell you, you know, I don't like people because if somebody rips them off, if they go in and they rip TIP off, okay,
yep.
And it gives everybody in the automotive repair industry a bad name. And they have already proved that going to a garage to get a vehicle worked on, the stress factor is the same as going to a dentist for a root canal. Holy cow.
Right.
So, you know, and I just, you know, and one of the questions I got when I first started the show in early years was, how do you find an honest garage? I said, people are basically honest. All people are basically honest.
Yes.
You get into a situation, and if they don't have the ability to talk to you, if you don't feel comfortable in drinking their coffee at their shop and talking to them, you go find you another shop, and you get somebody that will give you an answer, a straight answer, and look at it.
Yes.
If the place is clean, you know, if it's been, how long you been around? How long you been around, Simmons? This is my 50th year.
Yeah.
And Sam Walton said, of the Walmart operation, he said, the clients, your customers, will determine whether or not you stay in business or not. Not the business schools or the colleges and stuff, the information that you're going to need to actually process, because that's part of it. If you work on a TV, you've got to go to school somewhere or another. You've got to figure it out, and it's going to be OJT.
But it's your
automotive industry is.
Yeah. It's your repeat customers.
OJT, yes. Your customers need you. You need to be able to explain it to the customers, especially now. My Lord, I've told you 100,000 times. Every time I think I got the answer, somebody changes all the questions. And that is not a joke.
That's true. That's true.
You just go, I mean, when's the last time? I didn't even know that a Mustang had an 885 horsepower motor. They've got
either.
An electric car that'll run 170 miles an hour in a quarter. It's a Mustang electric.
They're down to 38,000 though. So they're getting cheaper.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, when they get to where I can plug it. I was trying to figure out. I told myself, self, oh, you can join me down here. And by the way, don't forget those tickets. Oh, I got to get the ad.
Yeah, we have three tickets left, and you got your sponsors there, buddy.
All right. Got three tickets left, 520-719-1490. That's tonight, and that's going to be a pretty daggone good show. It's got the modifieds in it. Hang on, I'll get you the rest.
There's
got
to be some turkeys there.
It's got the modifieds. Here's your sign, Jerry. Okay, March 30th, Easter, Extravaganza, sponsored by Family Air. It's got the modifieds, Thunder Truck, Hobby Stocks, Hornets, Mini Stocks, and an Easter egg hunt. So ask for Jim, since he had to go out and do his thing. Maybe he can go Easter egg hunt tonight. But anyway, that's
and
tonight.
Turkeys, right?
Tucson Speedway. Yeah, with turkey eggs. They make them bigger so guys have for our readers can see them. So that's it for that. And advertisers, Merle's Automotive, merlesautomotive.com. They've got 10 stores inside of Tucson, then they got scattered out around the state, actually. Hang on. Yeah. All right, here, we get a little better organized. Merle's Automotive, go to merlesauto.com. They got 10 stores plus stores in Sierra Vista, Morenci, Globe, Casa Grande, Green Valley. Make daily runs to the big warehouse over here on South Dodge Boulevard. They are the real deal. Foreign, domestic, and 18-wheeler parts and excellent counter people. And plus they have equipment and they have their own financing arrangements for equipment. They have lifts and all sorts of specialty tools and stuff like that. And all your additives you'll buy. So that's Merle's Automotive. Frontier Towing, of course, 520-748-1100. Just write that one down. That would be Jim Mooney, owner. And that's the one that had been there, towed that. And, I mean, if you can tow a rhino for Reed Park Zoo, you pretty much can tow anything. So, and Parker Automotive, parkerautoaz.com, 520-323-1960. 5101 East Speedway. That's another excellent independent garage, home-owned and grown, and excellent. They do everything, including tires over there. 5101 East Speedway. Every now and then they have a good car for sale, too. They're like me. They kind of like Hondas. And so that's Parker Automotive. Talk to Scott. 520-323-1960, Parker Automotive. Then you got Mr. Test First Don't Guess, Automotive Specialist AZ.com, 3611 West Ina Road. Believe it or not, he was, and you probably believe it, he was selected by O'Reilly Auto Parts as the best automotive technician west of the Mississippi. That was a few years ago. And if you have a vehicle that you can't find out what the problem is, and you take it to Brian and he's working on it, and he can't find it, do yourself a favor, go down and get you another vehicle. Because if he can't find it, nobody's going to find it. He's that good. So, and that's, you know, that's good. Drivability problems. I think he's got a screw loose because he loves that kind of stuff. So, Brian Fuller, automotive specialist. Brian's going to say, I'm going to kill you. automotive specialist, and Brian's phone number over at Automotive Specialist is 520-572-1734. Brian's cell number is 520-237-3852. It's 3611 West Ina Road, Suite 101, Meredith and Ina in the Bookman's Plaza. And like I said, if he can't fix it, go ahead and sell it. I told one of my customers that he was in a jam for one. And he said, well, can you fix it? I said, if he can't, go ahead and sell it. Don't even call me. Just go ahead and sell it. Go to Lynn's Auto Brokers and just buy you another one. Oh, Lynn's Auto Brokers. and desertrv.com. Lynn's Auto Brokerage.com, desertrv.com. Both of them, their website is excellent. It's easy to follow, and you'll be covered there. Let's see. And Simmons is still looking for two technicians. I need an automotive tech and a drive shaft helper in the drive shaft division. Call Wade Simmons at 884-0217, 520 prefix, 884-0217. And give him a shout down there. We open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We don't work on weekends. We don't work on holidays.
We got about two
Sometimes
minutes there, Jer.
Don't work at all.
Two.
But, all right. Let's see. We covered the 429 in the 1996 Mustang. That's faster than 855 horsepower. And this was in 96. And
we got about a minute, 26.
And the other thing, yep, I understand that we're looking at the classic cars. Everybody's wondering what's happening to the car industry and stuff, and you got electric cars everywhere. And I, believe it or not, I actually was at a car doing a clinic volunteer thing for a guy who had cancer. And there was a little electric pickup that he had made, and this was probably 13, 14 years ago, I actually seen the truck. That was one of the coolest little thing I'd ever seen. And
Ford electric pickup.
Here to stay.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. Huh? Cool. The Ford Courier. Or yeah, I believe it was a Courier.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yep.
TEP.
And that thing is really cool. But
we've got about a minute
here. You're gonna have stuff coming in from too many things trying to get in the last second. Anyway, we'll just skip that one. Evidently, it'll come to me just as soon as we close the show. But I want you to drive safe. It's the Easter weekend. There's going to be some traffic out there. It's supposed to be. It's a holiday. And just be careful and dodge. Run your headlights, please. Just turn them on. Turn them on. Don't even count on the day runners. Turn them on so you have lights in the back end, lights in the front end. And this time, don't cut off your turn signal switch. Just remember to use it. And should be good to go. And turn your headlights on.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. And for the rest of you, God bless and have a very safe weekend. Bye-bye.